everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Bogdanovich between Porzingis' legs last night. Was it necessary? Was it unnecessary? Was it necessarily unnecessary? Was it the diamond play of the game for Morgan Jewelers? Also,
Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he would buy me 400 popsicles.
Let's go around the horn. We're going to do a show like that for April Fool's. It's going to be the post-op edition of Around the Horn.
If you bring the popsicles, I'm there.
The expression, run it up the flagpole and see. You're familiar with this, right? Rob Manfred. Well, he got the flagpole turned around and bolted back at his face, Mondo Duplantis style. Postseason expansion proposal, not met with wide approval, but we're going to give it a fair chance here to look at it. The format you see before you, going from 10 playoff teams to 14 playoff teams. Have the two teams with the best records get a bye. The teams with the remaining best records choose their first round opponents. Clinton Yates, you cover Major League Baseball. You're also a rational human being. How does this strike you?
It strikes me as a solution to a non-problem. If I'm supposed to believe that Major League Baseball is overhauling the playoff system because they think that, I don't know, more fans are going to tune in the regular season, I don't see this being the way. Or perhaps they're trying to distract from the Astros. Maybe the case for a couple days. But if you break that down, after all, then you're dealing with people who were going to be watching anyway. And why we like it is because the playoff system, Major League Baseball, is the best already there is. I like the one-game format. It offers a fun solution. But moreover, think about this. For it to be easier for teams to get into the playoffs, you've got situations like the Brewers, who have been there twice and have ended up slashing their payroll. They can still get in without having to pay to compete in the same way, and that's ultimately why I don't like it. It rewards mediocrity in a way that I do not think is healthy for the game overall.
Woody Page, how does it strike you?
Well, Clinton, I think you left out one aspect here. More money from the TV networks if they have more playoff games and more playoff teams. That seems to me to be the root of what's going on here, but I got the feeling, and I'm sure Kevin would agree with me, that after work in New York, a bunch of the young executives of Major League Baseball said, let's go down and have some beers and talk this over. And they sat there and went, well, here's an idea, more playoff teams. Well, let's have a reality show. Let's let the teams pick their opponents. Let's make it three games. And so they just went beyond all hope of what you really should be doing. If you're going to worry about the game, how about shortening the length of the games? How about dealing with cheating? How about dealing with replay?
I believe they're trying.
Why don't you do that?
All those things. And this was another. Well, let me say this as we introduce Sarah Spain here. There are other leagues, NBA, NHL, where 50%, over 50% of teams make the playoffs. Baseball isn't like that. This gets them closer. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious problems are what Clinton pointed to. One is also that they'll be programming against their own wild card games and the NFL when they introduce multiple games at once if they're trying to get more eyeballs. Also, maybe the trade deadline isn't as exciting because more teams are contenders down the stretch. They're less likely to sell, so we don't have as many big acquisitions. But beyond that, I actually like it. I think if you change this, someone did the numbers over the last 8 seasons if they had implemented this. 27 of the 30 teams would have made the playoffs at least once. We get a chance to see someone like Mike Trout in the playoffs potentially more often. Only 4 of the 112 teams that would have made it in that last 8 years would have had a losing record. So you're not introducing that much mediocrity, although you are allowing for teams that potentially had serious injuries or trade acquisitions that changed their favor to compete later. And maybe by the end of the season, they are contenders. I think the schadenfreude that's possible with choosing your own opponent on television. Ooh. And then getting the breaks wow. the knee off you by said opponent is amazing. We don't see anything like that in sports. There's no other sport where you get to pick who you want to play against. You can try to manipulate the regular season to get there, and I don't think it even devalues the
regular season. Okay, all right. Save the rest for your FaceTime, Sarah Stein. Kevin Blackstone, how does this strike you?
It strikes me that Sarah will probably be watching baseball after having Thanksgiving dinner if they expand the playoffs like they're going to do it here. I don't want to watch baseball that late into November. But the key word here for me is subterfuge. That's what this is all about. Clinton, you hinted at it. We just had Charlie Morton come out and apologize and say that he wished he had stopped things with the Astros when he had a chance. We just had a former major league player sue the Astros for ending his career through their cheating scandal. We've yet to hear the commissioner address this. We're about to have pitchers and catchers report, and everybody's going to be at the Astros training facility asking questions about one of the biggest scandals to hit sports ever. And that's what we're not talking about, because Manfred is brilliant. He flipped the script on everybody and said, here you go. Let me dangle this in front of the media and have them talk about this foolishness.
Do you not want to address it at all because you believe it's subterfuge? Do you not believe expansion in the playoffs is
the only thing? They don't need expansion in playoff. Mike Trout just needs to play better and get on a better team. Here's what the only thing I like about it is they get rid of the one game playoff, which I've never thought was appropriate for a league in which you play 162
games.
Glenn
Yates back in.
The one game playoff was the coolest part about the playoff going back in the day. Check on the Mariners for that. But if Major League Baseball wants more people to watch their games, how about you simply make it available on their televisions and mobile devices so that they can do it without some huge problem and some
and Woody
huge
Page.
Fence to jump over?
Well, the first thing you do, go back to 154 games, Kevin. Then you can actually work it in. And I'd like to choose Sarah as my team I want to compete against in showdown.
Okay. Thank you for getting the record out there. Chances this actually happens. Sarah Spain, you want to throw out a percentage? We play odds maker like we do on PTI?
Exactly as proposed. I think there will be some changes based on some of the backlash, but I think probably 60-40.
KB?
I would say 60-40 on the three-game series because that gets you more money for the MLB.
I'd say 30. They're getting it out there now because the CBAs and the TV deals end at the same time. You can wrap it all up and try to figure it out for the next one.
75% that
75%
they expand
chance
the playoffs.
They expand the playoffs. Okay. Oh. We've been horrible. We'll move on. Does anybody know how many passes Taysom Hill has thrown in his career?
15.
13.
15 is correct if you count the postseason. 13 is correct if you only count the regular season. Yates
yes.
and Spain getting the points. Blackstone.
I said 13.
I didn't hear that, Woody. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to dock you points either. Everybody gets points. You get points. You get points. He's telling the Associated Press, I definitely view myself as a franchise quarterback. He is a restricted free agent, KB. How do you hear Taysom Hill there?
I hear him saying, I'm 30 years old. I'm looking around the Saints organization I'm with. I see Breeze may retire. I see Teddy Bridgewater may or may not be here, depending on what Breeze does. And I want a chance to actually be a full-time quarterback in the NFL, which is what I was in college, which is what I came into the league being. I just don't want to be this guy, this action figure who comes onto the field every now and then. And you know what? If he wants to do that, great for him. He just may have to do it someplace else and not with the Saints.
So that's his strategy. That's how you view it in his head. How do you view it in your head?
I'm all for it. I mean, the guy was a quarterback in college. He was pretty decent. He came into the league as a quarterback, and he's never gotten a shot down there except in special situations. And if Teddy Bridgewater leaves and Breeze is left and plays one more year, then maybe he's got a shot. Give him a chance to showcase those skills.
Wait, Yates, can I bring you in here?
Yeah, but that's the point, is that the only chance he has to be a starting quarterback is with the Saints. He went on to say, it'd be great to find out what people think about you on the open market. I don't think that's a game you want to play, Playboy, because people are actually watching you. You get to some other team, you might be out of the league faster than you think. And so the path there, for me, is staying in New Orleans. If that means that he's not going to end up being starting for a couple seasons, so be it. But I just don't see this guy as a talent level at that age to walk into another franchise and suddenly leave.
Let's get to the crux of the issue here, Woody Page, all right? 13 career regular season yes. passes, 15 when you count those two that he's had in the postseason. Can you expect a team to be interested in him as a starting quarterback right now?
That's too small a sampling. You're talking about Tim Tebow after his first year in the league. You're talking about Cordell Stewart, who was the original Slash and really did the same kind of things that we're seeing out of Hill. I think the best thing for him to do, and Clinton sort of touched on it, is stay in New Orleans, see how much longer Drew Brees plays, and then you'll get your opportunity. Nobody wants you in the league as a starting quarterback. They're just not going to hand you the job.
Cyrus Spain, your view of it?
Yeah, you can't expect a team to look at a guy who's 3 of 6 last season and has 15 total passes over 3 seasons as a viable person to be a starting quarterback. He absolutely has to leave the Saints if he wants to do this because Drew Brees is in front of him, and that team that has seen him day in and day out already decided, we know you're not our backup and you're certainly not our starter because we went and paid a ton of money to Teddy Bridgewater to do that, which means he would have to go somewhere else and hope that there was a team, particularly a team with a more limited starting quarterback that would want to use a Swiss Army knife type guy like him more often. But even then, no, it's too late into his career for him to suddenly decide that he can be a starting
quarterback. Blackstone after the horn.
Well, I would just say if he had never really played, then what would his chances be? Then we may say this is a guy who was playing behind Drew Brees. He is a quarterback. Let's bring him into camp and see what he can do as a full-time quarterback. And I think that's a legitimate opportunity.
Brady over Dak for the Dallas Cowboys. Bill Plaschke said it on this year's program last week. Michael Irvin said it last week as well. That's the only time in history anyone has gone from Plaschke to Irvin. And now Peter King is thinking it. Sarah, is there something here? Can you see Jerry Jones looking at Tom Brady instead of signing Dak?
I can see Jerry Jones doing it, and that's why it's important there's other people around Jerry Jones to say, whoa, no way, dude. Not a 42-year-old whose skills are already slipping in replacement of a guy that we've been building around and know is our franchise quarterback for years to come. Whether or not you're in win-now mode or win-in-a-couple-years mode, Dak is a better choice than Brady, other than just to have some shiny object that Jerry Jones can play with. But, no, this is absolutely not going to happen, and it would be a terrible move.
Woody Page?
Yes, I totally agree with Sarah that really this was a guy in Jerry Jones who a few years ago wanted Paxton Lynch instead of Dak Prescott. Now you got Dak Prescott who's playing extremely well, and if you go get Tom Brady, you're going to have to pay him the $30+ million that you're going to have to pay Dak. It makes no sense whatsoever that you've got a quality quarterback and you would go out and bring in Brady to that system for a year. Really, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Lynn Yates?
Never mind the headache he's going to bring. If you don't address this and address this quickly, the level of doubt you signaled toward Dak Prescott that you not necessarily believe in him as the long-term franchise quarterback could do damage to that player that you don't want to do. This would be stupid on every level, not just a level.
Okay, that's three people who are selling. Kevin Blackstone, is there anything in your head that says Jerry Jones might make this move, Brady over Dak Prescott?
I mean, only if he wants to blow up his immediate future, or I should say the future for the next few years, because I just can't see you bringing in Tom Brady, who you wouldn't sign for, let's say, a 5-year deal, and getting rid of Dak Prescott. I just can't see that happen. It does not make
what
sense.
What do you want a last word after the morning?
Sure. The Chargers and the Raiders can go out and he'll be a gate attraction. They draw 90,000 in Dallas. He's not going to bring any more people than that.
KB, you said the immediate future is. Do you have different types of future here? Your future's ahead of you, and in your future, I see buy or sell on the other side. Stick around.
Immediately.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
We can play a new game and buy or sell if you guys want. Good tamper or bad tamper? Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid's benchies. I know a place where villains are welcome. Embiid's response to his old buddy and also his response to Sixers fans. If I could take it, then you could take it. Phil, a tough all love. He had a process in there as well in his responses. Clinton, what do you buy? What do you sell?
I'm buying good tampering in the NBA. It's what makes the league more interesting than the rest. See the banana boat for that little piece of fun. And also, I'm buying the fact that maybe Embiid should just get better on the court, and then we'll all have no problems with the social. Come on, man. You can do both.
Woody Page?
I'm buying all of it. This is the Embiid I like. The one who's the comedian, who's having fun with the fans and with other players. And that's exactly what he was doing. And Jimmy Butler was just having fun with his former team and his former teammate. nothing but a good time here.
All right, so you don't believe there was any tamper, any ill intention with the tamper? Sarah Spain, no. How about you?
I don't think this started out with fun. This started out with my own fans are booing me. I've been along the road for this process the whole time. I used to be a part of this is what's going to be great, and now I'm getting booed, and I'm a villain for my own people. I think Jimmy Butler's smart to tamper because that Sixers team is already a mess, and if you can be outside of it, stir the pot a little bit, you're setting yourself up for some playoff issues.
KB.
Man, I'm buying it. Nobody does soch like the NBA does soch, and they let these players do what they want to do, and it sounds fun and it's entertaining. But I think I also read an MB talking about being Philly tough that maybe he's grown up, maybe he's got the skin that can withstand okay. this thing, and maybe he's going to try and fight through it, which is what I think he should.
So you think in the immediate future he handled it okay, in the long-term future he handled it great. All right, we'll move on. Buy or sell two.
Yeah.
Are you okay with Red Sox GM Chaim Bloom's explanation of the Mookie Betts trade?
What Mookie and David are capable of on the field is a lot. I certainly think it's reasonable to expect that, you know, we're going to be worse without them. It was very clear to us that this move would come with a lot of fan backlash. I think that, you know, we had to prioritize what we thought was right in the big picture for the Red Sox over the fan reaction.
Woody Page, buy or sell?
I am selling. I thought what he said there when he says we're going to be a worse team without those two players, I think that made more sense than anything else. That here's a team that can afford to pay the luxury tax, one of the two most expensive franchises in all of sports, and yet they want to dial it back. Their fans are not going to put up with that. Of course they deserve whatever backlash they're getting.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I don't think we're relitigating whether we agree with the trade. If we were, I would say I still disagree with it. But I'm buying what he's saying, which is that the hiccups in the trade had nothing to do with them rethinking things because of backlash. They knew they were going to get it. They got it. They needed to figure out the physicals of a guy. They figured out a different trade that worked for them, and they went through with it. I'm buying that there was no part of them that considered backing off because of the fans. They knew that was
Kevin
coming.
Blackstone?
I'm just selling that they're still extremely uncomfortable with it, and they're not sure what this is going to look like in the future. You could see him when he leans forward. He's like, oh, boy, let me answer this one more time. This is going to haunt them for a while.
Yeah, I'm selling every part of this. Covering that World Series back at Fenway a couple years ago, there were more Mookie Betts jerseys in that crowd than I saw any. And Boston fans are smart. They know that the reason they don't want to do this is because Dombrowski gave Eovaldi $70 million he didn't deserve, and now they can't afford Mookie Betts. People know in Boston. They're smart. This is stupid.
Of course.
They're smart. Not smart. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. Clinton, this is something you brought up with the sign-stealing scandal last week. And KB, yeah. You alluded to it earlier in the show, so let's talk about that. There's a game on signstealingscandal.com, spotlighted, August 4th, 2017. Astros 16, Blue Jays 7. A game Houston seemed to be on every pitch. Trash can bangs all over the place. And in that game, two Blue Jays pitchers got hammered, and that wound up being their last game ever in the major leagues. They were sent down to the minors and haven't been able to make it back. So former major leaguer, Jays reliever Mike Bolsinger, suing the Astros in civil court for unlawful and tortious business practices. Sarah Spain, you're our resident lawyer here, Esquire. Does he have a case?
Thank you for giving me this FaceTime. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to say it as quick as possible. I can't agree with him more. I don't care about the Pandora's box of however many other players might be interested. I don't care how hard it is to prove that if you were not playing the Astros, you might not still have had a bad day. I am 100% on his side. I've been on Mike Fire's side since the beginning because it is completely unfair to the players who were negatively affected by this for their entire careers and life's dream because another group of players wanted to cheat. I am all in on this.
Kevin Blackstone.
And that's why this is such a critical situation because it cost people their jobs. It took food off their plates. And that's why this is just a big deal. He's not going to be the only one, as Sarah just alluded to. There will be more. And this is a problem that baseball is going to have to deal with for some time.
This panel has long argued against frivolous lawsuits. Do you believe this to be a frivolous lawsuit, Glenn Yates?
I don't, but part of the reason why I commend this guy is because it's going to take a lot of personal work for him to revisit the emotion it takes in order to get through a situation like that. We're talking about a guy who had to go to Japan to pitch later. We're talking about a guy whose wife was pregnant at the time and his life ended up getting ruined. The work he's going to have to do just to see this through, that's going to take a heck of an amount of strength, and I don't know that most players have.
Woody Page.
I'm buying it. I would love to see him take it to court, maybe a class action suit with more players involved, and force the Astros players to have to testify about what happened, because most of them are just trying to avoid it at all costs. Let's get it out in the open.
Wow. Look at those scores today. This was a tight one. Woody, you made a late surge, but it wasn't good enough. Kevin Blackstone also taking a seat.
Almost done.
Clinton Yates, Sarah Spain FaceTime in 2 minutes.
Yeah, just the opponent I would have chosen.
You might be 4.5.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Yates in Spain. Good luck in showdown. Bogdanovich between Porzingis' legs last night to clear some space, and then he dribbled back out to 30 feet from the basket. Then he gave it to Rudy Gobert for a dunk. Necessary? Unnecessary? Necessarily unnecessary? Clinton, where are you on this?
It was very necessary. It was sparkling, as a matter of fact, in terms of the play of the game. But have you seen this guy recently? He's been hitting game winners all season. Anything he does, I'm fine with. He's on fire.
As Jorge Masvidal would say, it was super necessary. Because when you have an opening like that, and you can have a little bit of a you know, Globetrotters play mid-NBA game, you take
advantage. Bogey's been great. You're right on that, Clinton Yates. And super necessary. Absolutely. We'll split the point. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Roll the tape.
It's gonna, honey. Aaron Rodgers, he would buy me 400 popsicles.
And today, Connecticut teenager Callie Kessler has her ice pop sent directly to her by Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick. Sarah Spain, what's the moral of the story?
Well, whether it's her popsicles and her dream that Aaron Rodgers be her best friend, or the anesthetized philosopher David After Dennis who said, is this real life? I think the moral is get people to film you just in case you say something great, you might go viral and get free stuff.
And the other moral of the story is don't be afraid to root for the team you like. This girl's from Connecticut. She's not even from Wisconsin. And she manages to get a package like that from two of the most important people in the PAC world. That's great.
I really think we have something here. A post-op around the horn edition, and then we'll get to the we'll get to the real takes that nobody that that seen on TV that aren't good for TV. Sarah Spain, 30 seconds.
So we spent a lot of time over the last couple years trying to find old tweets that make people look bad after they achieve great things. Well, instead, the last couple weeks, between Demi Lovato a decade earlier saying she would sing the national anthem, Patrick Mahomes saying he would be Super Bowl MVP, and now former NFL player turned Oscar winner Matthew Cherry saying in 2012 he was going to win an Academy Award, people are manifesting the good stuff on social media. I love unearthing these, and I think we all should do it. Put something out there. Put out a big dream.
Dream it.
Hello.
Believe it.
I'm going to win an Emmy.
See it. Achieve it.
What do you think I'm doing here?
2020.
Put them out right now. We'll see you tomorrow.